one is a sober show. The only place to go. Bruce and Shelley and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for Marvelous Recovery 101 Jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOA, CAGAP, or SLA, or any of them there, guys.
None of them. Or the Anons.
No. No, we're not particularly good at speaking for ourselves, so we certainly don't want to throw that off on anyone else.
Yeah.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
She had to do it, because, see, I'm fighting off the yawn right now.
Yeah. Shelly battled a huge yawn while she was getting ready to do that.
And I'm battling sneezes, too. I'm about to yawn and sneeze at the same time. I'm going to short circuit.
Try to do them at the same time because it's really hard to control.
I am like right there. If I start sneezing, it's bad because I'll sneeze like 10 times in a row. But about 15, 20 seconds between each sneeze. It'll be ridiculous. So I'm doing something I read about on a book, which is you squeeze the top of your nose. What do they call it?
The bridge
of your nose. That works pretty well.
Sweet. Pinching the vagus nerve?
No, that's in my wallet.
I think it's the
vagus nerve.
I'd have to look it up, but I think it's called the vagus nerve, the thing in your nose that like jiggles or twitches or whatever makes you sneeze. When you have something in your nose that your nose wants to get rid of.
Doesn't it make you want to spend copious amounts of money as well?
Cross your legs above the knees. That'll squeeze off something. That'll make you stop sneezing, too.
It'll squeeze off something. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze. I wonder if that's going to go... booze, because I stepped on my cord when I was standing up, and it just pulled the microphone away from my mouth.
Yeah, you were standing on both your cords when you did that.
I was getting the, like what singers do, where they're singing and then they pull the microphone away from their mouth.
Okie dokie. Uh-oh. I hope we're still recording. This is from Katie Uck. Katie in the UK. I thought this was interesting. In America, inmates... have started going onto Yelp as a way of, like, they air grievances and they rate the prisons they're in. They rate the food. They tell you how to get more food rations. They give each other tips.
I can decide what prison I want to be transferred to?
Yes, they give each other tips for, like, you should pretend to be Jewish so you can get special food rations. Or in one prison, if you're Jewish, you get to use the rabbi's phone. I mean, all kinds of crap.
Oy vey.
Yes, it's become quite the thing among inmates in prisons is to go on Yelp. I gotta go on Yelp, man.
I wonder if they give you an incentive if you go on Yelp.
Well, yeah.
Go on Yelp, get an extra hour in the yard.
Well, here's what I wonder.
Like us on Yelp.
Why is Yelp an available page to guys in prison?
Yeah, what are they?
Because
gonna write?
What are they going to write a review about? Yeah. Except their prison.
Yeah.
That seems like one of the websites that you would not be able to bring up.
Well, I think it's because they're not allowed on Facebook, so they're looking for any way to do social.
What's my favorite crime to be knocked down to a misdemeanor?
Yeah.
Well, they could also, I mean, if they're posting reviews and of their prisons, they could also talk to each other, say, hey, yo, so-and-so, you know, can you do this for me?
Yeah, there'd be like
blah.
A big code.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
a code.
Yeah. If you're going to commit this crime, do it in this county because they give you less of a sentence.
Yeah, well, because they're not allowed to.
No, it'd be an inside crime. It'd be like, you know, when I'm shanking a particular prisoner, I like to do it at the edge of the yard at 3 o'clock.
That's not much of a code.
Well, no, but I mean, there would be something, some type of... Yeah, I'm not
an instruction.
I'm not a code guy. But there would be something like that that would end up meaning that.
Yikes. Okay. Bill sent this one in. And this will be very good news to those of us in recovery who would like to keep our recovery.
I want to keep my recovery.
For researchers at Columbia University in New York are publishing a story in the journal Neuropsychopharmacology.
Read it often.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time. I'm just telling you where
the
study
in the
is going to be published. They did an initial study. This is the first study that where they found that the pill that they've, you know, they're working on a pill to synthesize THC in marijuana to try to get the pain relief effects without getting loaded.
Right.
Right.
I'm all for that.
The pill is called dronabinol. Dronabinol.
Dronabinol, dude.
You can snort it.
Yeah.
The first trial of the pill has found that it actually, shut up, actually provides greater pain relief than people smoking the actual marijuana.
There you go.
Of course, because they purified it out.
And does not appear to involve addiction or getting loaded side effects.
Now, let me ask you, I don't know if it mentions it in this, but there's other beneficial effects that weed has, like for nausea and stuff like that.
The nausea is...
Does it do that with the same pill, or is this pill like specifically for pain relief?
No, it's for the nausea, too. The test involved cancer patients.
Now, how about ocular hypertension, the glaucoma patients?
I don't know. It didn't say anything about that.
Damn.
It's just they were testing cancer patients with, you know, smoking marijuana versus taking this TH dronabinol pill, and the pill actually worked better for them.
Can you smoke the pill?
No.
You can slam it.
Well, I'll bet you can. I'm sorry, we're dope fiends.
It's just where our minds go.
Yeah. Hey, we got a pill to cure alcoholism. Yeah, what if I take 12 of them?
In Paterson, New Jersey, Ron Tuitt was a teacher.
He's finally gotten around to it.
Ron Tuitt. He's been a teacher in the school district there since 1996. He was fired recently for inappropriate behavior because he urinated in his trash can in the classroom one time, and then several...
In front of the class?
Several other times, he urinated into a bottle, capped it, and then had one of the boys in the class take it out of the room to throw it away. Now, there's, you know, obviously there's other parts to this story. The other part to the story is that he is disabled in a wheelchair, and that the principal recently removed his access to certain restrooms. Oh. And being disabled, he can't get around much. So this was his solution to his going potty problem.
A lot of New Jersey teachers seem to have been fired lately for stupid things.
Yeah, for stupid things. Well, I'm not sure that this is so stupid. I mean, okay, if you've got a, like, when, you know, in between classes and there are no kids in the classroom and you're disabled in a wheelchair and you have to pee into a bottle because the principal has shut down the wheelchair access bathroom. Okay, that's one thing. But then having one of the students in the class take it to an outside trash can, that's kind of...
Yeah.
You know, students don't mind being helpful to their teachers. I think they're making too big a deal out of this.
I met a teacher from what was my daughter's high school. This guy, he's 30, but he looks like he's about 22. I'm like, do you ever run into problems because you're only, you know, when he first started teaching there, he was 22. And I'm like, you were only like 3 or 4 years older than the people in the class. He goes, oh, yeah, I grew a big-ass beard for the first 2 years because it really made me look crappy. I go, really? He goes, dude. He goes, I'm in class with a bunch of 17, 18-year-old girls. He goes, it's already a bad idea. I thought, wow. Then I asked him, I said, what's the teacher that everyone hates? And without a second, he said the one word, which is the teacher that Connor and Courtney both used to hate. Starts with a V.
Yeah.
Vassal something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He
goes, oh, it's blah, blah, blah. I go, oh, my God, that's the one.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, none of the teachers like him either.
Ow! Let's see, in Rockaway Township, wherever that is.
Because
I didn't look it up.
Rockaway Township, Pomona. Rockaway.
Well, interestingly enough, that's kind of an apropos name, I suppose. A 54-year-old woman, Kim Decker, only two names, though, was pulled over for driving erratically. None of the people in the car, not one, had a valid driver's license. Most of them had their licenses revoked for DUIs.
Well, that's why they weren't driving.
When the officer asked her to get out of the car, she did, and there was one of those little glassine squares or whatever that they put heroin in, those little foldy things.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And when questioned, she admitted that she also had some heroin hidden in her bra. So when the female officer searched her, they found 333 envelopes of heroin stuffed in this woman's bra.
She looked stacked, didn't she?
She went from a B cup to a D cup.
Wow.
Okay.
Yes, she...
they pulled him out, found out it was really a man.
Yeah, she's being held on $50,000 bail. Let's see. This is kind of a weird story. I forget who sent this one to me. There's a group called the Campaign to Stop Killer Robots, which, you know...
That seems like a good thing.
You immediately think of people wearing tinfoil hats and, you know, saying crazy crap about what the government's up to.
I think of Arnold.
Interestingly enough, according to a professor of artificial intelligence and robotics at the University of Sheffield, which is in the UK, the killer robots may not actually be quite so far out as we think they are.
I know they're not.
He said, I'm quoting him, I think we're already there. If you asked me to go out and make an autonomous killer robot today, I could do it.
Yes.
So now there's this group that's formed, because I guess there's a research wing in the Pentagon that's actually working on this.
DARPA.
Probably.
What is it?
DARPA.
Is that actually what it is?
Yeah. That's probably. I forget what the acronym is, like development and something. Research.
Artificial research.
No. DARPA is the military research arm. It researches everything. It develops everything.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's the one doing all those weird experiments with weird stuff.
Yeah.
That you ever want to see a cool video of a robot? There's a thing that a guy that came into my store and bought a bed's working on, and you can go look at the YouTube video, but like everything else about it, it's like real, it'll show, but everything else is really classified. This thing is called Big Dog, and it's a robot, and this thing can go over any kind of terrain. And what it's really for is carrying ammunition, because when you get guys that are in forward bases that are burning a lot of ammo, this thing can go over anything. It can walk on ice. It can walk up hills. It can walk over. It's amazing. You try and knock it over, and it won't fall.
It's like a Weeble?
It's, well, except
Weeble,
it's not round like that. But, I mean,
fall,
it looks like a dog, and, like, you knock it sideways, and it just, it's got, like, eight legs or something, and it just rights itself. And it can have, like, a 6.8 earthquake. It won't fall over. And I said, can that thing be mounted with weapons? And he goes, I'm not at liberty to discuss that. Yeah. I thought, oh, wow.
I can't say.
Bill sent this in. Bill with the little header that he put on the email. I'm just waiting for this to break out. It's going to be bad.
Zombie
like
apocalypse?
No, the bird flu. The new strain this year is the H7N9. 22 people now dead in China. And for the first time, someone outside the mainland in China has shown up with it. The really bad part about this year's bird flu is it's the first time that they believe it's been communicable between humans.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was always communicable between humans. That's why
no.
they were wearing the masks and all
no.
that stuff.
It was the bird flu for a reason, but the problem is birds fly around and they shed
right.
crap.
Yeah, but they don't usually fly across the Pacific. Well, I suppose they could.
What's your point?
Well, because now that it's communicable by humans... I mean, is that normally like when bird flu came from China to here, was that from birds flying here from China?
No. Yes. Wait. No, the birds contracted from each other. I don't remember.
Right, but I mean, they got a gift from China to the U.S. somehow.
I do remember that in my churchyard, like, there was a die-off of a bunch of crows in the... Remember when, if you found a dead bird, you had to call...
Yes.
Fish and Game or whatever, and tell yes. them about it. Well, we had a huge, this is years ago, we had, when this first started, the first year this started, we had a huge die-off of crows in the churchyard, and I just went and we started picking them up and putting them in bags. I didn't have any gloves on or anything. I'm pretty sure I got sick.
Thanks
because
for telling me that.
I felt ill for a few days, because a really healthy person back then, before the virus has mutated that many times, it's just like having a mild cold for most people. But now it's turning into a super mutant bug, which is why Bill says, I'm just waiting for this to break out.
To be perfectly honest, we used to find dead birds in my friend David's backyard all the time.
Why?
Well, they had BBs in them, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, I found dead ducks, and I haven't reported them.
Well, your dog found dead ducks.
I shot the ducks.
Right, and then the dog went and got it and brought it back.
Well, when we called the number that had been published that we were supposed to tell them we have all these dead birds because they're supposed to come pick them up and test them, They told us, just put them, wrap them carefully, seal the bag, and put it in the dumpster. We have too many birds right now.
Okay.
That's how many dead birds there were then.
Could you just burn them right where they are?
And when they
please?
Did the news conference yesterday in China on this virus, mm-hmm. telling people what to do, what not to do, the only person at the news conference that was wearing a mask was the medical researcher. I think if the guy that's doing the research on the virus feels the need at a press conference to wear a surgical mask, we might want to take note.
Yeah.
Well, that's because he's pretty sure now he's a carrier. He doesn't want to breathe on anybody.
Yeah. All right, let's see. We got time for one more. This is how fast you can lose your identity these days. In American Fork, Utah, family goes out for dinner.
Utah.
They go to the movies. When they were, her husband was parking the car, and the wife was pushing their daughter, who's she's wheelchair bound, mm-hmm. pushing their daughter's wheelchair up to the movie theater. A gentleman approached and said, "Oh, let me open the door for you." By the time they got home, there were $8,000 charges on her credit card.
Scanned her card.
He'd stolen her wallet out of her purse in the guise of helping push the wheelchair through, taken her credit card to a Target, bought $2,000, you know, you can load as much money as you want to on a card, Target cards, and then distributed them, and there are several people that went around to different Targets, they think, with these cards, and bought just tons of crap.
Oh.
Wow.
That's how fast, in 2 hours.
And what's amazing about that?
What movie did they see?
It doesn't say.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though.
You
could
ask the pertinent question.
You can
Mark.
Stop that pretty quick, because I had, it's happened 3 or 4 times in the last couple of weeks where people come to my store and they charge a large ticket item, like $1,500 or something, mm-hmm. and they almost immediately, like within 10 seconds of them charging it, they get a message on their phone that says, "Did you just use your charge?"
LifeLock.
Yeah. It comes like right to them, and they say, then they just text back with whatever their code and say yes, and it's cool.
Yeah, it's and banks sometimes do that. Depending on, like, if you have a charge that's large enough, it flags, the bank will call you.
I got a call from Wells Fargo one time.
Yes, I remember that.
And the guy says, "Hey, Mr. Burnett," and I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Where are you right now?" I said, "I'm Covina, California, at my store." He goes, "You weren't in Paris a few hours ago, were you?" I said, "No." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, someone just tried to charge like $4,000 in cosmetics."
Yeah.
I said, "Yeah, that wasn't me." And the first thing he says, "Do you have a daughter?" I said, "Yeah." And I go, "But was it charged in Paris?" He goes, "Yeah, it was charged at a physical location." I said, "Yeah, no, wasn't her."
Yeah.
They shut off my card immediately, and when I did the follow-up with them, because they have to hold like the $1,500 for a certain amount of time, but by the end of the day, there was like $16,000 in charges that were attempted to be made all over the place, different websites and all kinds of things.
Yeah, well, the thing about her, she got...
I said, make sure that porn one still goes through.
They went to the movies, got home. There were 4 phone calls from her bank and credit card companies saying, something's wrong in that amount of time.
The good thing about that, though, those fraud departments, they were, I got to tell you, they were pretty good at getting the money back to me.
Yep.
They were pretty quick.
And that is the end of Boozy News.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101. Clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Shout out.
To the New Way Foundation.
At Sober College.
At SelfWillHappens.com. Actually, the SelfWillHappens.com is Sober College.
Right.
Not the New Way Foundation. You'll hear that ad later, and you can link it from our page. So, Shelly.
You already heard the ad, but that's okay.
Yeah.
What?
I already heard the ad.
Oh, you just heard the ad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can click it from our page at recovery101.net. So, Shelly, we have a topic.
Well, Katie had
brought
sent,
up by someone.
Yeah, Katie sent an email.
Katie Yuck.
Sent an email, and she was talking about something, and it kind of, she didn't bring up a topic, but what she said kind of triggered something in me. Is like, you know, she was saying that for Americans, sobriety is like, we got tons and tons of people that have multiple decades of sobriety. You know, and there's not really, getting sober really, there's not really that as much of a stigma in the U.S. anymore in most places as there used to be. But in Europe, there still is. And like, you know, she has several years and she's considered to have quite a bit of time. And then she met an American who had like 40 years who told her she was just a baby. And so the perception is a lot different. You know, they
ouch.
There's a lot of relapse in Europe. Because the culture is different. It's like, it's kind of still hush-hush there, you know. And it not so much, you know, you can go out and drink and party and that's normal, that's fine. Even if you're drinking to excess, that's normal. It's the getting sober that's kind of hush-hush, because then you've admitted suddenly that you're somehow defective or there's something wrong or whatever.
So the success rate in Europe is less than 5%?
If I'm reading it right in her email, yeah, that the success rate would be, I mean, people keep coming back. But you end up with people with a lot of...
The rubber band theory.
A lot of short bursts of brief amounts of time.
Lengths of non-continuous sobriety.
Right. Short lengths of non-continuous sobriety. Whereas, you know, in America, she said there are lots of people that have multiple years. And it's just a different... And, you know, and I kind of... What it triggered in me was thinking about the way sobriety is looked at in other parts of the world, or how we view sobriety in other parts of the world. From our perspective,
I wonder if it could just, and certainly the way it's looked at other parts of the world is a perception thing, but I wonder if maybe the area, do we know what city she lives in?
Nope.
I mean, like, does she live in a big area, a smaller? Because I got to think that it would also depend on the area you happen to be in. I'll give you an example. We've got an area that's not too far from where we are. Sintown, Pomona is a big crack area, and I would be willing to bet that the amount of people with double-digit sobriety in Sintown would be less than, say, if you were in an area of Monterey,
Pasadena.
Where there were people that were drinkers that have just been around for a long time, just because, you know, Pomona, Sintown was a newer area, it's younger drug addicts, they could have more time. I'm just wondering the area she lives in. Is it London? Is it some small burg somewhere?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think she's ever said.
Because we'd front you off, Katie.
we'd send everybody to your house for dinner.
Yeah, we give your address and tell them where you're going to meetings so they can go with you and get some big time.
Well, but like I was thinking about it, you know, I've been to meetings in other places.
I love doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I love that.
The meetings that we have in Southern California are kind of a little bit, I don't want to say weird, but they're just different. Because it's almost like...
I think everyone else's are weird. Ours are fine.
And ours is fine. Yeah. I think that ours are what I would call wildly celebratory. It's like we're loud and proud. We're, you know...
We're Southern California.
Yeah. We're just like...
We do it all bigger and better.
Yeah. I'm sober. So
I don't know
what?
About better, but bigger for sure.
Yeah.
But I know that there are... You know, back east, I have had relatives that were extremely zealous of their anonymity because it is not looked, it's not necessarily looked down upon, but it's just something you don't discuss in polite company.
I don't know if
no
that makes
what.
You have, I'm not sure what about that would make you have end up with less time, though. So you're more anonymous. Okay, so you celebrate at your meeting and you don't really tell other people around.
Well, no, I mean, it's just I think that in some areas, like especially, and I know this is true in areas of France because France has a huge problem with alcoholism, if you can't fully participate in what everyone else is doing, there's something wrong with you. You know, all your friends are going out for a drink. You know, I don't really want to go because you're trying to stay sober.
No, we're going to wine tasting.
I can't really do that. Why not? Come on, what's wrong with you? You know, I mean,
I go to wine tasting all the time.
Mark does. He just doesn't taste any wine.
I
was going to say, you sit there and pour it for everybody else.
I do.
He's the man that pours the Kool-Aid.
Well, Mark, you've had the opportunity to go to meetings in other areas, in at the very least the U.S., I know that.
Yeah.
When you went back to the East Coast, did you find meetings to be, I mean, did you, what difference did you see? Did you find it to be demonstrably different, or?
You know, it wasn't, it was, the meeting was shorter. Most places I could go to, I noticed that their meetings are an hour long. Ours are an hour and a half for the most part. Because we all have we have more important things to talk about.
A lot of NA meetings
we have to have
are
break.
2 hours.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Not sure why we need a break in the middle.
Because nobody can sit that long for an hour and a half.
Smokers.
This isn't ADD Anon.
ADD Anonymous.
Yeah. Well, like you said, Southern California, everybody's got ADD.
Yeah, I know. What?
Hey, there's a bird outside.
What were we talking about?
That's what I...
Hey, look at that fly.
That's how I get at work sometimes. My boss would like, laugh about this. We'll be deep in conversation about something. We'll both lose the thread of where we're going with the conversation, and one of us will say, ooh, shiny.
Perfect.
My son was getting his hair cut by one of my best friends one time. He's a barber, and he's talking to him about some movie, and he's in the middle of the conversation, he suddenly stops and reaches and goes, that's a cool necklace. And it's like just... right in the middle of the conversation, it's like the whole thing, it was like a kitten with a string of yarn.
Hi, Connor.
You know.
So you go back to, where were you, Virginia?
I was in D.C., so I went to Maryland.
Okay.
And first off, I noticed that around here, because I take calls on the hotline. You take calls on the hotline. And when somebody calls up and wants to know about a meeting, we usually give a pretty good job of getting to a meeting.
Yeah.
I got a guy on the phone after I called three times, finally got somebody on the phone, who wasn't sure where I should go to a meeting at. And I'm like, the reason I called you.
It's because you're the guy.
You're the guy. I don't know where there's a meeting at. I'm here from out of town.
Yeah, I'm here from Los Angeles, dude.
So he wasn't sure. And then once I found a meeting, I called him back and asked him if he could kind of give me a general idea of how to get there. He didn't know that either.
Wow.
When I got to the meeting...
You felt like you would have been better off to just look it up online?
Well, that's how I finally got there. I looked it up online. I printed out MapQuest, which in the D.C. area is interesting because you MapQuest how to get there via all the different colored trains. All the
lines.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah, take the yellow line to the red line to the, you know. So I get to the meeting, and after the meeting, I happen to share with the secretary about how tough it was for me to find the meeting. Turned out it was his sponsee who was on the phone during the time.
Oops.
I got to imagine he got a call.
Yeah, I bet. Now, was the meetings themselves, though? I mean, did it seem like...
It was cool. It was a Hope, Faith, and Courage book study, which was what gave me the idea when I came back here to...
Alter a meeting.
Completely mess up the meeting.
It didn't get messed up.
I was kidding.
You got to read a book that no one read.
Yes, several times. And let me tell you, some of those stories, especially the lesbian story, those were hot topics.
Yeah, they couldn't wait for that story to come up.
We had somebody who delayed moving up north so he could read the lesbian story one more time.
Oh, Nathan.
Yes.
Yes.
You know,
who's still sober, by the way?
You can buy the book.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd give you one if you couldn't afford it.
And how about, like, along the lines of what Katie was talking about? Because I don't know. I mean, I would imagine, there's guys with time no matter where you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I've gone to meetings in the U.S., and that's her point. People in the U.S., there's places.
Of course, it's the originator of programs, so.
Right.
Yeah, and like the perception of program in Akron is among the normal people is different because several times a year we dump buckets of money into their economy, you know, because Akron is like our mecca.
Right. People go there to visit Bill W.'s house, and they spend money, and they actually travel across the country to go there. And
there's Dr. Bob's house.
I think they're both there.
Are both those houses there? I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, I used to live there, but I never went to the houses.
Okay, well, you didn't want to be an alcoholic then.
No, I wasn't drinking then. I was dry.
How about we went to Cincinnati. Now, certainly the meetings were different there.
Yeah, in what way?
Yes.
Yes, they don't clap.
They don't clap? What else was different?
They have a non-smoking meeting and they have a smoking meeting.
What else?
I don't remember.
They have chairmans.
Yes.
Instead of secretaries.
Which is basically the same thing.
Yeah. But there was time.
Yeah, but that's still in the U.S. I mean, I'll give you an example of something outside of the U.S. I read a story it's actually fairly difficult to get a meeting started and keep it running in a lot of Arab countries.
I'm sure.
Because you get beheaded.
Yeah, there are penalties yeah. for drinking because it's against the religion, Islam. It's, you know, they're not allowed to drink. So if you're an alcoholic in an Arab country, getting help is pretty darn hard. The stigma is enormous.
Actually, it's easy to get help. If you drink, they cut your head off.
Yeah,
there's
problem
incentive.
Solved.
In the movie Religulous, Bill Maher is talking to these two Muslim guys who are not only gay, but own a bar, and one of them's sober. And he's like, oh, wow, you guys would be triple winners back home. They go, oh, yeah, we'd be dead.
Yeah.
We'd be dead. Now, we went to an area in Northern California where there was not a lot of meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to the way, like, Cocaine Anonymous started here, there was the meeting of the week, and you drive pretty far to go to it. And I only met one person with more time than me when we were there. Matter of fact, when I went and spoke, Shelley volunteered me to speak at this one meeting.
Thanks, Shelley.
This guy's like, oh, can you speak at this other meeting, the big meeting of the week? Mm-hmm. And when the guy told him that I had 23 years, the NA meeting and the AA meeting both went to the same meeting. Because there was two meetings. They were right in the same complex at the same time. They had an NA meeting and an AA meeting. Everybody went to the AA meeting. And I'm like...
Why?
Yeah. And I'm thinking... I didn't even have as much time as now. I had about 19 or 20 years.
It was before you were 20.
Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't even that much time. And there was one guy in there who had like 30 years. And he was the guy, like, at coffee break, he had like a huddle around him. Like, everyone was around him, you know, like... waiting to hear what tripped off his tongue. You know, he'd drop his pearls of wisdom.
Yeah.
I didn't have that many pearls of wisdom. So, you've been to other countries to a meeting?
No.
I have not.
I have.
Where?
Canada.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I was 12.
Hey.
Was there a lot of time there? She goes, yeah, there was guys with a year.
I don't remember, actually. But I have been to meetings in Canada. We spoke at several conventions up there. Hmm. My family did.
So you're the only one, the lone person out of the country.
Yep.
And you can't remember anything about it.
It was a big convention. I remember that. There were tons of people.
Oh, well, there you go.
It was in Alberta.
Sweet.
Cool. Yeah, lots of time. Guy came up to me at the detox ward yesterday. Said he had 13 years at one time. I said, what happened? He said, I turned 14.
Oh, yeah. I had 12 years at one time. Then I turned 12 and went on a fishing trip with my uncle.
Yep.
Oh, I get it.
I got my
friend.
Shelley just caught up.
I have my friend James. James has never been sober in the beginning of his life.
I know.
His mom was drinking when she was pregnant. They gave him Jack Daniels to soothe his teething. He's been loaded ever since.
It just kept backing. I know. It's gotten earlier and earlier every time I hear him.
Yeah, pretty soon he's going to have the doctor injecting Jack Daniels into his womb sac.
I think that happened.
Yeah,
did it? In Arizona.
Yeah, in Arizona.
Yeah.
We had a
trailer full of ammunition.
Right.
The camper. So, Shelley.
For another time.
Yeah.
He will never hear this. Some people will get it. Fausto hears it. He'll get it.
Yeah.
So, Shelley, what would your final words on quality versus quantity?
We never really got to quality versus quantity.
Yeah.
We'll have to change the name of it.
I don't know. I think that, you know, I mean, rehab is the new black in America. You know, everybody thinks that, you know, oh, well, I'll go public with him. I can get lots of sympathy and everybody will be understanding. Well, you know, that's here. But in other parts of the world, it's really not like that. And, you know, we have a long way to go, I think, in terms of a global community to an acceptance of the fact that we need help and not beheading. But I'm not the person to start that campaign.
No, Shelley's out there with the blade. Mark,
what
are your final words on it?
On what?
On whatever.
Whatever we were talking about.
Whatever we were talking about.
On different areas of recovery or something.
I don't think it matters so much how much time is in your area as to do how much time you have.
That's very true. That's very true. Along those lines, because in a way, Katie, you got 6 years. You go, girl.
Sponsor the world.
Yeah. 6 years is A-OK.
Yeah, you need to be the one to start the campaign.
It's A-OK. There, you know what? 6 years is 6 years, and that's a lot more than most people get that try it. And I wouldn't be too worried about, some guy that comes in with 40 years that says you're newer, because you know what? You're newer than that. So what? When you get 40 years, look at how you'll be the queen of the U.K. in recovery. So, Mark.
She'll be the queen?
She'll be the queen. She'll be the queen.
Long live the queen.
Long live the queen. Katie Yuck. Katie Yuck the
first. Remember you knew us when.
Katie Yuck the first. Whatever you see, whatever you do, Katie, don't say anything like let them eat cake, though. Mark.
What?
Who's our friend back east?
Cindy Bruce.
The other white meat.
Runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription, and he'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a recovery home or sober living or someplace where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce, and he'll send you hard copies to strew about the facility.
For free! Shelley.
Yes.
People are listening to the show.
Oh,
thank
boy.
You.
Okay. If they must. If you're listening to, we appreciate any way that you listen to the show, but if you're listening on anything other than our site, we ask that you go to recovery101.net, click on permalink, if you are a member of Podomatic, click on the show, and then try to click on like. If you're a member of Podomatic, you've been counted, thank you very much, that helps us out. If you're not, you'll have the opportunity to become a member, please do so, it's free. And you can add us to playlists. You can like us and find out when we post, get automatic updates when we post the shows and whatnot.
What not? We've got email addresses at recovery101radio@gmail.com. Join the crack advertising staff for request advertising at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself too damn seriously.
Shelly, who's the lead on music? Bye.
Electra.
Everyone, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.